We'll be looking today in Habakkuk chapter 3 and discussing this section of this prayer that remembers the faithfulness of God. And so we have before us a prayer of remembrance. Please give your attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Habakkuk chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 3. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand, and there His power was hidden. Before Him went pestilence, and fever followed at His feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were You displeased with the rivers? Was Your anger against the rivers? Was Your wrath against the sea, that You rode on Your horses, Your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over Your arrows, Selah. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw You and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of Your arrows they went, at the shining of Your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of Your people, for salvation with Your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck, Selah. You thrust through with its own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with Your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, and rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When He comes up to the people, He will invade them with His troops. We are encouraged in the reading of God's holy word by Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer this morning is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of His perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, from the very beginning of the history of God's people, we have proven ourselves to be terrible historians. We are. Notice how quickly that we seem to forget what God has done for us. And notice how quickly even the most amazing miracles at the hands of our God become distant memories for us, those who follow the Lord. We see it over and over in the Scriptures. God is faithful and true. God fulfills His promises. God protects His people. He provides for their needs. and even saves them. And then we find that God's people quickly forget. In Exodus 14, God miraculously delivers His people from the Egyptians. And you see references to this in this prayer. Did you kind of see some of those as we were reading through that? Parting the sea, saving His people. And yet, one chapter later in Exodus 15, the people of God are complaining that they don't have any water and that God seems to have forsaken them. Very interesting to see how God can do these wonderful things, but that we are the ones with the short memory. In our time of getting to know the prophet Habakkuk, we have seen and observed the same kind of forgetfulness in his life and in his words. If you recall from the very beginning, as we started with Habakkuk, we would assume that this is a prophet of God who knows of the great works of God towards His people. And you can see that coming out in this prayer, right? As he's remembering some of the things that we're going to look at today. But from the very beginning, Habakkuk seemed to think that God had abandoned His people. Even the one who knew of God's work forgot the history of God's work. Now, it took some time. We've worked our way through this book. It took a long conversation with God. It took a lot of God reminding Habakkuk of His work for Habakkuk to come to this prayer of remembrance in chapter 3. We've remarked several times that it seems there's a change that's taken place. It seems that he is now saying things that he did not say at the beginning. There's a progress that has been made. Today, we want to see the great benefit of remembering what God has done for His people as a source of encouragement for you and I today, as a source of joy, as we'll see next week, a source of strength that we will see as this prayer ends with Habakkuk speaking of those things. We see in our text today a call to remember what God has done. Why does God call us to remember what He has done when He's already told us what He has done? Because we find that we, like Habakkuk, are terrible historians. We're terrible at remembering what God has done. And we tend to somehow think that because now we hear silence from God, that God has forsaken us. We see these same tendencies that we see in Habakkuk, we see in ourselves. God is calling His people here to remember, first of all, we'll see the law of God. Secondly, to remember proper worship of God, to remember the power of God, and to see the faithfulness of God. We're going to go through this text and see these themes. They're working their way through what our prophet says in his prayer. It's for our great benefit, because we are acknowledging today that our memories are equally as short as our prophets. We're acknowledging today that we, at the first instance of trouble, will forget what God has done, we'll turn to question God, and we'll turn to our own wisdom, or even the wisdom of the world. We tend to be poor historians in the work of our God. When we see God's people in the Scriptures, we see them doubt. We see them question God. And we see them, at the first sign of trouble, begin to do what we've seen in our text today. They'll forget. In our passage of Exodus 14 and Exodus 15, it's a perfect example of that. Let's know today that every time that we question God, every time that we forget what God has done, we are forgetting the Scriptures tell us otherwise. God has been faithful to us. God has rescued us. When we read of the Israelites passing through the Red Sea, we are reading of you and I passing through the Red Sea. We are God's people. They represent us. We are with them. When we read of God rescuing His people As we'll see several examples here in this passage, we're reading of God rescuing us. We're reading of God's work toward His church. And the church of Jesus Christ extends from the beginning to the end. There is one church. God has designed many ways to continually remind us of His work. Why does God do that? Why does God continually remind us of what He has done? Because we're so poor at remembering what He has done. And what's one of the ways that we've spent some time in the afternoon sermons working through the fourth commandment? This is one way that God continually reminds us of His faithfulness. Isn't that interesting? In this creation ordinance, the creating of a day every 7 days, God gives us a time of renewal, a time to remind ourselves what God has done. If we forget throughout the 6 days, the first day now will come, and it will be the day that we are reminded of what God has done. Are we thankful today that God has given us these regular reminders of His faithfulness to us? We are granted a regular and steady use of the means of grace to remind us of what God has done. The Word, the sacraments, and prayer are basically elements to remind us of what God has done. We have the Word of God itself before us for our regular use each and every week, each and every Lord's Day, each and every day, in fact, through family worship, through times of private devotion. The Word of God is continually reminding you of things that it's already told you. Now, God doesn't desire that we read the Bible and then we're done. It's not designed that way. It's designed to be read again and again and again, all throughout our lives, repeated. The Psalms themselves are designed to be repeatedly sung over and over throughout our lives. Interesting that God gives us this means of reminding us what He has done, partly because He knows we have such poor memories. We also have prayer. And before us in our text this week, as a means of grace, we have a prayer of remembrance. And I think that this is commended to us in a number of times throughout the Scriptures, to be reminded of what God has done. If you notice some trends in the Scripture to be reminded of something that's happened in the past, it happens all the time through the Old Testament. It happens all through the New Testament. Deuteronomy begins with a rehearsal of the history of God rescuing His people. Moses gives forth a song in Deuteronomy 32, which is really a recital of God's faithfulness, what God has done. It's kind of a recital of history. And we see this all throughout the Psalms as well. If you've sung the Psalms for any length of time, you'll notice how there are references to particular places and to particular people. We've sung one already today. To particular battles, to particular victories, to particular times that God has rescued and saved His people. Why does God desire us to sing those over and over again? So that we will know that He is a faithful God, that we will be reminded that He is faithful to us. Isn't it interesting? The Scriptures do not repeatedly proclaim how faithful that you and I are. In fact, they don't tell us that at all. It's interesting that sometimes in the Christian church, people fall into somehow believing that the Bible teaches them of how faithful they are. But the Bible doesn't speak of such things. It shows us the faith of His people, and it shows us some of the faithful things that His people have done. But the Scriptures are all about the faithfulness of God and how His covenant promises will never be broken. But what do we read of all throughout the Word of God? God's people breaking their promises. The book of Acts. We're moving into the New Testament. And even before we get to the book of Acts, all through the sermons of Jesus, Jesus mentions the things that happened in the Old Testament. The book of Acts, we have the sermons of Peter, of Stephen, and of Paul, which are basically history lessons, rehearsals of what God has done in the Old Testament, going back over again and again the historical works of God. And we're talking today specifically about prayer. Review the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer in the larger catechism. And note how each petition is connected specifically with history in some way. with what God has done in the past. All of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer are connected with God's faithfulness and His dealing with His people. So I want to commend to you today, as the Scriptures commend to you, remember what God has done in your prayers. Rehearse back over and over in your mind the faithfulness of God toward His people and toward you. That's a good and healthy thing. And so we see today in this particular prayer of Habakkuk, it fits within this larger scriptural pattern of rehearsing God's faithful works, of remembering them, of being reminded of them, of teaching them to our children. This is a common thread in the Scriptures, and here we see it in prayer. The purpose of this prayer, we're going to get to this next week and maybe one more week, but the prophet says in verse 16, first of all, everything that we've read here today, all the things that have happened, they come down to verse 16. The prophet says, that I might rest in the day of trouble. That I might rest in the day of trouble. How do we rest in the day of trouble if we don't think that God will rescue us in the day of trouble? If God was an unfaithful God, there would be no rest. But Habakkuk tells us otherwise. In verse 18, Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. And we'll look at that as well. He rejoiced in the Lord even though everything seemed to go wrong in this particular example that he uses. And then thirdly, we see that in verse 19, Habakkuk says that the Lord God is my strength. Why would God be our strength if He was unfaithful? Why would God be a source of joy if He were unfaithful? Why would God be our rest if He were unfaithful? You see, all of these times of remembering what God has done are to show us that we have rest and joy and strength in God. Why do you and I today need to be reminded of God's faithfulness? Because we are so prone to forget it. Know and understand your own heart. That you wake up in the morning somehow not knowing things you should know. That you approach your problems and your trials apart from the things that should give you strength in those trials. Why do we do such things? It's because of our fallen nature. It's because of who we are, how we have within us that sinful nature that causes us to be such poor historians. That causes us to have such poor memories when it comes to what God has done. As Christians, I want to encourage you today to enjoy these wonderful passages that summarize the grand works of God. And I hope that you find them to be refreshing and rejuvenating and enlivening in your Christian faith. David Dixon says the church, he's talking about history here, the church is a storehouse of experience for a time of need. She hath treasures of instances of what God hath done, ready to be repeated. And the grand lesson of this chapter and this prayer is that if God has been faithful all along, He will continue to be faithful. And so then our prophet has rest and joy and peace at the end of the prayer. That's been my own experience. And I've run across this, and I observe people's reactions or whatever when we hear what the sermon is about or you hear what the lesson is. And I know that sometimes, and I know that I've done this as well, that sometimes we tend to be maybe a little discouraged or a little disappointed when we find out that the passage before us is something that we're really familiar with or something that we already know. And I know for my own self, for a long time, I approached church and preaching like I wanted to hear something new. I couldn't wait to hear something I'd never heard before. And then look how much of God's Word is concerned with telling you things that you should already know. Sometimes our response to a particular text might be, oh, I've heard this one before. Ah, you know, too bad. I was wanting to hear something new. But this is God's design. It is God's design that His works would be spoken again and again. That you would be reminded of what God has done again and again. And in fact, this is one of the great advantages that we have in our day of a written word. The word that we have before us is a constant reminder of what God has done. We don't have to guess. We can reread these wonderful instances of God's faithfulness. We're able to be continually reminded. Not for the sake of repetition or to entice boredom, but to sharpen us spiritually, to allow us to be reminded of the things of God. And I want to ask you today, do you appreciate being constantly reminded of things that you already know? Can that be frustrating for us at times? Are we encouraged when we hear stories of God's faithfulness in His Word? We should be. We should be encouraged when a text is chosen again and again, when texts are familiar to us. Enjoy the retelling of God's faithful work, and don't miss the importance of such a thing in your life. Praise God that He knows us, that He knows of our limitations, that He allows for us to see portions of His Word thousands of times throughout our lives. Especially, I go back to the singing of the Psalms. Know what these words mean. Know the victories that are proclaimed. And sing again and again and again of God's faithfulness. Because there will be a time when you will doubt it. When you will feel alone. When your trials will seem overwhelming. You need to remember what God has done. And God has provided for a way for you to know what He has done. Sometimes forgetting what God has done is because of poor leadership. Sometimes preachers or elders do a poor job of reminding God's people of what God has done. Maybe they'll think, oh, they don't want to hear a sermon about Jonah. They don't want to hear a sermon about Moses. And you see this general neglect of the Old Testament in preaching. That's just a general tendency of the neglect of these wonderful accounts of God's faithfulness. Many times we forget because we don't remind ourselves. Maybe in our own personal or our quiet or family times we neglect these recurring stories of God's faithfulness. Today we need to remind our children over and over and over again of what we require of them. We remind our children over and over of how much we love them, of times that we have been faithful to them, and sometimes they don't listen to us when we tell them such things. We have to remind our children over and over again that the stove is hot, because no matter how many times that we tell them the stove is hot, they want to play very close to it. Good leadership knows that the more important the message, the more often it needs to be repeated. In the home and in the church, the more important the message, the more often it should be repeated. Not just in hearing or knowing doctrine, but in historical narratives. And we see this in our prayer today. Habakkuk is going back over, and we're going to get to seeing some of the ways, the historical references in this prayer. But when we are forgetful, let us not think somehow that God's power has lessened in some way. Sometimes when the power of God grows cold to us, or God seems distant to us, we come to the conclusion that God has forgotten us, or that God is not hearing our prayers. Where did we read of such a thing in the book of Habakkuk? In chapter 1. Habakkuk is going through great trial, great emotional distress, knowing that the Babylonians are growing in power and that God's people are sinful. He approaches God in panic, questioning what God will do. But by the time we get to our text today, Habakkuk is remembering what he ought to have remembered in chapter 1. And that's an encouragement to you today as God's children. Maybe something will happen to you this week that will cause great turmoil in your life. Will you remember that God is faithful? Will you remember that God has been faithful throughout the years of His people? Or will you forget? Who among us doesn't need to be reminded? Habakkuk's reminder in his prayer comes just after God has put His servant in His proper place. That's one of the themes of God reminding His people, is to show His sovereignty, to show that He is in control. And we've seen that as a theme all throughout this book. And this is another encouragement to you and I today. Not only that God is reminding us, but that God is stooping down to us, that God is filling in those gaps, that He knows we are weak and that we forget. He's calling us to remember what He has done, so that we will know that He never stops being faithful to His people, even in times of trial. Well, let's look very briefly at our text here in verses 3 through 16. I think, first of all, we're reminded of the importance of the law of God. Habakkuk says that God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. In verse 3, God comes from Teman and Mount Paran, both references to the wilderness region south of Jerusalem. It's a reference by Habakkuk to Sinai, to the giving of the law of God, the power of God that was demonstrated during the giving of the law. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 2. The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. Very interesting. We read today in our reading, our Old Testament reading, we read Exodus chapter 19. And we saw here the powerful display of God's majesty and holiness in the giving of His law. And I think that's what Habakkuk is referencing here. I want you to see and notice in this prayer that Habakkuk is remembering the power of God, but that that begins with the giving of God's law. The law of God is central to the demonstration of God's power and authority. It is central to the demonstration of God's power and authority. I think it's very strange and disturbing how we see the law of God discarded in the Church of Jesus Christ in our day. But God is very concerned about how we use His law. God is very concerned about how we remember His law, how we understand how it was given in a display of His holiness and majesty. Exodus 19. I think it's very interesting and wonderful, actually, how Exodus 19 sounds a lot like Habakkuk's prayer. But more accurately so, how much Habakkuk's prayer sounds like Exodus 19. Habakkuk knew of these texts, and we see this as we go through. I would call you today, if you have time, review Exodus 19. Look at the Exodus 20. I'll go ahead and read that one because we didn't read it earlier. Exodus 20, we'll pick up with reading with verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, and the sounds of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that His fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." Has that changed in the history of God's people? Does God still desire that we understand His holiness and His majesty so that we might not sin? This is still important to the Christian today. And we see this language reflected in Habakkuk's prayer, in the flashing of lightning and as it comes from God. What a wonderful reference to Exodus 19. Now, Calvin says on this passage, he says the Egyptians were smitten with various plagues, that the army of Pharaoh was drowned in the Red Sea. Hence, the prophet says that God has so appeared from Teman that the pestilence went before Him and then the ignited coal. In short, that the pestilence and the ignited coal were God's officers, which were ready to perform His commands. as when a king or a judge having attendants commands them to put this man in prison and to punish another in a different way, so the prophet, giving us a representation of God, says that all kinds of evils were ready to obey his orders and to destroy his and their enemies. That's a wonderful reference there. Why is Habakkuk going back and remembering the giving of the law of God and God's powerful display of his majesty? Because he's been reminded of God's sovereignty and Judah is about to be destroyed. Why is Judah being destroyed? Partly because of their rejection of and violation of God's laws. So it's very important that we see the majesty of God in remembering his work, that it must be connected with his law. We cannot remember the majesty of God and what he has done for us if we reject his law. Very, very important to see that God works all of even his enemies for our good today. And this really is the point of why we need to be reminded of what God has done, so that we will know what God will do. Now, we may not know the particulars of what God will do, but we know that God will be faithful. We know that God will be faithful. We know that God will be faithful. Let's continually be reminded of the holiness of God and the works of God in our prayers. Incorporate remembering what God has done into your prayer life. Remember his mighty works. Remember them when you pray. As Habakkuk here begins with the law of God, so let us be reminded of God's law in our prayers as well. There's another reference here at the beginning, not only to the law of God, but to worship. In verse 3, his glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of praise. And notice how a demonstration of God's power and the giving of the law leads to worship. They're connected together inseparably. And we as a church today must see the great need for renewed emphasis on these two particular instances, two particular things in the church, the law and worship. Both are neglected today. Both are twisted into somehow being expressions of the whims of man rather than expressions of the great power of God. Have you ever noticed that? The law, folks who don't like the law in the church will say, well, we're supposed to do this thing over here, and the law isn't intended to be kept in this regard. And so it'll be softened so that it'll meet my needs. And the same thing for worship. God has commanded for worship to be done in a certain way. Well, I'm not sure I really like that, so I want to fit it to my needs or the needs of our culture. The law and worship are both specifically mentioned in Habakkuk's prayer. God is keeping us from descending into man worship. He gives us these descriptions of his power, of his law, and of his worship over and over and over again in the scriptures. How can we so quickly drift away from the law of God, or so quickly drift away from proper worship? Because we have forgotten God's works. We have forgotten what God has done. We have forgotten Exodus chapter 19. We've forgotten the majesty and the holiness of God. Verse 4. Here we remember the power of God. His brightness was like the light he had raised flashing from his hand. And here his power was hidden. I think it's kind of a reference there as well to Exodus 19. How many times are we discouraged today because of the greatness of our trials, or the greatness of our enemy, or the power of our enemy, when simply being reminded of the power of God would be sufficient to put it in context? How often do we dwell on the power of God in our meditation and in our prayer, in our praise? I think we know that God is powerful. We know that he is faithful. But as we've seen here in our prophet, he forgot that God was powerful. He forgot that God was able to take the Babylonians and twist them into his plan and make them perform his will. That he could use their sin for his glory. That's power. That is power. That is sovereign power. And how often for you and I is our stumbling, is our falling away due to our forgetting of God's power? Just how powerful that He is. That should be an encouragement to you and I today. For the remainder of our passage, really, the prophet does seem, as we begin with verse 5, to recount different portions throughout the history of God's people, which call us to remember His faithfulness. Here's the history lesson that begins. And here, all throughout the time in Canaan, in the battles with God's enemies, in the giving of God's law, in the rescuing them through from the Egyptians and delivering them through the Red Sea. These passages here before us are references to God's faithfulness because they happen. Look at verse 5. Before him went pestilence and fever followed at his feet. Many commentators put this as a reference to God's delivering of his people from Egypt and the plagues. Verse 6. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Many commentators again here see that this is a reference to the giving of the promised land to God's people, right? In the dividing up of the land, in the taking away from the enemies of God. That's all things that you and I need to remember. That we need to remember that God is faithful to do what He has promised that He was to do. Remember, for many years, God's people had had a promise of the promised land. But it came to pass. And the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills bowed, His ways are everlasting. Verse 7, saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian tremble. Verse 8, O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea? References here possibly to the dividing of the sea or the giving of water to God's people in the wilderness. God rescuing and being faithful to His people. That you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation. Here we see references as well in verse 9 and following to the conquering of God's enemies. The enemies of Israel. Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. Verse 11. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. Does that bring to mind a particular reference? Joshua chapter 10, the sun standing still. Why did the sun stand still? It was during a battle, right? God's enemies were being conquered, and God was being faithful to Israel. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear, these references to God's conquering of His enemies. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the waters passed by. I love the way that this passage, in some ways, it tends to kind of go back and forth. You see all the way through, then it'll go back and it'll reference something that happened at Sinai. And I love the way that they all sort of intertwine together in this beautiful prayer. Verse 12, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. Is that a reminder of God's faithfulness to you and I today in 2014? Is God faithful today because He trampled out the people who were in the promised land so that He could fulfill His promise to Israel? Yes. Yes, this is a reminder of God's faithfulness to His people even today. David Dixon says, these singular dispensations prove that all the creatures in the world are in a special way servants to the saints, and that the sun is a candle to be lighted or to be put out when God seeth fit as their affairs require. Without any respect to the world beside, this may teach the godly to read more special love in the ordinary use of these benefits than is let out to others. Now that's a very interesting quote. I thought that was very interesting because the sun standing still was really bad news to God's enemies. But it was a good thing for God's people. And look at all the ways that God blesses His people in the natural world, in the conquering of His enemies, all showing us the faithfulness of God. In the saving of His people, we see the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 13. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. Reference to Jesus Christ. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. You thrust through with His own arrows the head of His villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. Beautiful text. Going forth for the salvation of His people is the central purpose of all of time and history. All of time and history is oriented toward redemption. And God is faithful to His people in every event of history. It's all about the working out of the covenant of redemption. And here, Christ is held forth as the anointed one, as the salvation of His people. Matthew Henry says, all the powers of nature are shaken and the course of nature changed, and everything seems to be thrown into disorder, and all is for the salvation of God's people. You see, that's what Habakkuk didn't see at the beginning, was that all of the turmoil and all of the world turning upside down was for their benefit. It was for their benefit. Lastly, let's close by introducing next week. We'll talk about the rest that comes to God's people in verse 16. Then I heard and my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When He comes up to the people, He will invade them with His troops. Here, in God's word, see the sure demonstration of His power and His purpose to save His people. Never doubt that God will save His people. Never doubt that God is faithful to His people today. And though we might see the surety of His judgment of sin, and though that particular judgment of sin upon the church and even upon our enemies might influence us in some way, because we are a part of that, we'll feel the after effects of that. We'll feel the pain of that. We are caught between these two truths. We will experience great trials. We will experience suffering in this world. But God is faithful. We will be saved. God will deliver His people. He will save His people, and no power on earth can stand against God's saving of His people. Here in verse 16 is one of those final purposes for all of the work that God has done toward His people. It is for our rest. This is the rest that comes in the day of trouble. Finally, after all that our prophet has been through, finally, after all of the complaints, after all of the interactions with God, he sees rest. And he experiences rest in his day of trouble that he did not have in chapter 1. And as I've done all through this book, in your Christian walk, do you understand chapter 1 more so than chapter 3? Do you relate more to chapter 1 than chapter 3? Are you a Christian who goes about through frustration and complaints against God, or are you a Christian who understands that God is faithful and that you will suffer in this world, but that God is faithful? There's a contrast between chapter 1 and chapter 3. Do you have rest today in your day of trouble? As a Christian, do you have rest in the day of trouble? Why not? Why do we not have rest in our day of trouble? Does God not prove Himself in His Word? Does not this restatement of God's faithfulness to His people prove that God will save us? That He will be faithful to us? The surety of God's power in the future is something that we should have today. God promises over and over that He will not abandon or forsake us. He will not abandon His people. His power is reserved for His purposes. His enemies will be destroyed. And so how often that we tend to forget what we know to be true because our memories are flawed. Our lives are filled with so many other things that we forget what God has done and what God will do. This prayer so far, as we close, is a reminder of what Habakkuk has learned about God. And it's a reminder of why Habakkuk will now trust in God. And that's the question that comes to you and I today. Will you now trust in God that you know that His Word continually reminds you of His faithfulness? Will you trust in God? God's children need to remember the power of God, the protection of God, the faithfulness of God, how He is able to conquer every foe, to vanquish every enemy, to provide for every need, to deliver us from every sorrow. God is faithful. God has proven Himself in the past. Have you been reminded of what God has done? Do you remind yourself regularly what God has done for you? God's children need to remember the faithfulness of God. God does not desire to leave His children as knowing something one time in their whole life. He desires that we be regularly reminded of His faithfulness. If you're not doing that, I would call you to that today. Habakkuk's prayer calls you to remember what God has done. Let's remember today to remember God's work in our prayers, the high points of our spiritual lives. Let's remember the high places. Let's remember the faithfulness of God to His children. And as we go forward in our Christian lives, we will have more confidence in what God has done. Our memories will improve. Our history will improve. We'll be better historians. We'll be better Christians. Because we'll know God more intimately and more deeply. God is a powerful God. God is a faithful God. Not just in the past, but today. Let's stand and pray. Our Father in heaven, we remember today Your great power. We remember Your faithfulness. We remember that You save Your children. Help us, we pray, to improve our memories of Your mighty works. And help us to remember them in our day of trial. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.